word will give you wisdom for tomorrow today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. What a joy it is to have you listening to us today. We hope you'll enjoy our program as we study the Scripture. Now, we're beginning kind of a new series. We kind of are and we're kind of not. We're continuing our series in John 14, 15, and 16. In chapter 14 and 13 of John, Jesus had been in the upper room with the disciples. There he established the Lord's Supper. And there he had many things to say to his disciples. In fact, John 14 in verses 1 through 6 are often quoted. In verse 6, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now we're moving. When we get to the end of chapter 14, there is a change that takes place. So stay with us today as we continue our study. We're changing the title now with Jesus in the vineyard as we continue. Now, we're going to be mostly in John 15 today, and so I'd encourage you to go find a Bible and look up the verses with us and read along with us as we study this scripture and consider God's word today. While you're doing that, I want to remind you about a couple of things. Number one, during this series, we are giving away little Gospels of John. These are little pocket versions of the Gospel of John, and if you'd love to receive one, we'll be happy to send one to you free of charge, no postage, no offerings. We'd just love to get the Word of God into your hand. The best way to receive one is simply to write to us, send us a note at Consider His Word, P.O. Box 550456 in Davie, Florida at 33355. Let me give that address to you again. Write to us at Consider His Word, P.O. Box 550456 in Davie, Florida, 33355. We would love to hear from you. The second thing is, I'd like to encourage you to go check out our website at www.bigcypress.us. Now, that's the church site. Our radio site is www.considerhisword.org. We're going to have some exciting announcements pretty soon about our book, and we're anxious to get that out to you. We have a new version coming out, and we want to tell you about that. But it's not quite ready yet, and so we're going to wait and tell you about that a little bit later. Now let's get to the scripture. As we come to the end of John chapter 14, Jesus had been in the upper room talking to his disciples. And we call that series, With Jesus in the Upper Room. And if you'd like to go back and hear the other Bible studies in that series, they're certainly available at the website at www.considerhisword.org. Now we're moving. When we get to the end of chapter 14, the very last verse says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I." And then Jesus said, "Arise, let us go hence." In other words, let us leave from here. And so they walk out of the upper room, and as we understand, they walk out the east side of the temple, or of that area, and down into a little valley. And in that valley, as you came into that valley, there was a vineyard where they were growing olive trees, and perhaps even grape trees, or grape vines, I should say. And as they walk across this valley in these grapevines, Jesus begins to look around, and taking from what is surrounding him, he again begins to talk to disciples. So now we're calling this series with Jesus in the Vineyard. And so we're changing up just a little bit. So let's begin reading John chapter 15. I want to read down through verse number 8. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Very interesting words that Jesus spoke here, and it helps us to understand the context of where they're at and of exactly what Jesus is saying to the disciples about abiding in him. Certainly he begins by saying, "I am the true vine." This is one of the many "I ams" that we find in the Gospel of John. In fact, there are at least six of them where Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." He said, "I am the water." He said, "I am the good shepherd." He said, "I am that I am has sent me." And so many "I ams" in John, and that's a great study in itself, but we may do that some other time. But for now, let's talk about this true vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." As he walks down through the vineyard, through these rows and rows of grapevines, he looks around and uses them as an example. In fact, Jesus did this many times. It's one of the things that helps when you go and visit the Promised Land, that you can go and see these places where Jesus spoke. And when he did, he would often use things around him as an example. In this case, he's walking down through the vineyard, and he begins to talk about these vines that they're looking at. And he said, "I'm the true vine." Standing right next to him is a row of grapevines. And he said, "I'm the true vine." And he uses that grapevine to describe his relationship between himself and his followers, or between himself and those who would trust him and those who are following him. I can imagine as Jesus is walking along that he reaches out and perhaps picks up one of these branches. Maybe he picks one up off the ground that has been cut off, or maybe he picks one up that is down in the dirt. And there's a reason I say that, and we'll get to that in a moment, but maybe he's just picking up one of the grapevines there along the way. And he said, "I am one of these. I am one of the vines. I'm the true vine. And my Father," speaking of God the Father, he said, "is the husbandman." That God the Father is the gardener, or maybe a better word is the vine dresser, the one who walks through the vineyard and takes care of it. Now, a vineyard takes a lot of care. The vine dresser or the gardener has to go through and do all kinds of work to take care of it. And they have to nurture these grapevines so that they produce the fruit that they want. And Jesus then identifies him more specifically. You know, he said, "I'm the true vine," but he said, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit taketh away, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Here, Jesus identifies himself as the true vine and the believers as the branches. Now, those are the people who trust Christ as their Savior, that know him as their Savior. He calls these the branches. So you are a branch. And so he talks about what happens to these branches. He speaks of them bearing fruit. Now, you know, when we read about fruit in the scripture, it can mean several different things. It can mean speaking of fruit of the Spirit and the things that come out of us. It could refer to souls that are won to Christ. But there is also fruit that is the holiness and righteousness that is in the believer's right, in the believer's life. And here, I believe that the fruit that Jesus is talking about is the fruit of righteousness, the right living that is lived out by a follower of Christ, doing right and living right. Now notice that that fruit of righteousness is a result of our salvation. We can produce fruit of righteousness once we are saved. Now, does that mean that an unsaved person cannot do right things? Certainly they can. But you see, out of a believer's life, that righteousness is a fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. So he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. So if we're not bearing fruit, God takes that, he takes us away. You know, I have personally known people who made a claim for the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a profession of faith and said that they were saved, but they did not live for God. I mean to tell you, they live like the world, and you wonder, how is that possible? Well, I don't believe that a believer can sin and get away with it. Several things are going to happen. One, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of that sin. Now, I don't believe you lose your salvation, but you're going to have consequences to deal with. And I believe that as God works in you, he will do what he needs to draw you back to himself. The Bible calls that chastisement. And God's going to do what he has to bring you back to himself. And that may be by some tragedy in your life or some trial in your life or some hard time. God is not punishing you in a sense to be bad to you. He's punishing you because he loves you and he wants you to come back to him. But there may come a point when God says, enough. There's no fruit of righteousness in your life. There's no fruit of living for me in your life. And God simply takes you out. I tell you, I've seen it. I believe I've seen it a number of times. And he says, if you're not bearing that fruit, he's going to, that branch is taken away. And he said, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Interesting word here, where he speaks about the purging. Now, some think that the purging is when maybe the branch is clipped away and cut off. I think that's when he takes it away. You see, the purging is when perhaps a leaf or a branch of the vine is laying down in the dirt. And to purge it means that he picks it up out of the dirt and he removes the dirt and he cleans it off. He may pinch off some of the dead parts, but he cleanses it so that it can bear more fruit. The purpose in the purging is increased fruitfulness. It's not just punishment. You see, in salvation, we are completely clean, but now sin needs to be confessed. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleansing is the purging of the sin in our life. Our time is gone, and we're going to have to stop right here for today. But I want you to join us again next week, because there's some important things that I want to tell you about this passage of Scripture. And I hope that you'll join us again next week, when once again we open the Scripture and consider his word.
Consider his word.